Welcome to another inspiring message from the Cornerstone Church Enugu.
Feed us, we welcome Pastor Ayo Ajani. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, I know we can do better than that, right? Can we raise our hands, raise our voice, and just bless this Jesus? Let's give him praise. Let's adore him. Let's worship him. The Lord is worthy of our praise. Let's give him praise. Father, we thank you. Father, we bless you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the counsel of the Spirit, the mind of the Spirit for us here tonight. Thank you because every single person will partake of that counsel. I decree and I declare that the things that you foreordained for us tonight are made available in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the shift. Thank you for the jump. Thank you for the quantum leap. We give you praise and we bless you. Thank you for the breakout of the spirits. Thank you. We give you praise. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. First things first, I want to appreciate Mommy Christy. Good to see you, Ma, once again. Good to see you. Praise the Lord. And thank you, sir. I was so blessed. In fact, I was wondering, why should I come up again? I mean, he has finished the job. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. I was so, so blessed. Thank you very much. Tremendously blessed. And thank you, Pastor, for having me again. Thank you, sir. Thank you for being a blessing. Can we put our hands together for Jesus and bless the Lord? All right, let's be seated very quickly. I'm just going to lend my voice to the conversation, the teachings that have been happening over time here. I've joined a few of the sessions virtually and it has been rich. I mean, rich. Your pastor loves you so much. I'm telling you, your pastor, you should put your hands together for your pastor. Your pastor loves you so much. Your pastor loves you so much. It's been rich. And I'm just going to add my voice, add my own beat to what I believe that the Lord would have us have done tonight. Proverbs 22:28. Let's start from there. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 28. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 28. I'll read us two scriptures. The Bible says, Paul says that we are the temple of God. He says we are the temple of God. And it says that both in a corporate sense and in an individual sense, you as the individual believer, you as the individual Christian, you are God's temple. Today, you are God's temple. And as a church, a corporate entity, we are the temple of God. Are you following what I'm saying here? Now, I know that's not new. How many of us believe that we are the temples of God? You know that you're a walking temple and that God dwells in this temple. Can I see your hands? Beautiful. Now, but Peter says that we as living stones, talking about this temple, he says we are being built up. He says we're being built up. So even though Paul says that we are the temple of God, there is the constant building up of this temple that happens. And talks about part of the ways that happens is by the offering up of spiritual sacrifices. But he says we are being built up. We're being built up. So Paul speaks and says, we are the temple of God. And anybody takes that and runs off with that and says, I am the temple of God. And he's right. He's absolutely right. For of a truth, he is the temple of God. But Peter speaks and says, this temple has to be built. There is what must be done. And I want to bring to us here in the little time that I have, and I'm hoping that God's Spirit will help us get across this thing, that the Spirit of God is doing a work in the earth. Let me say this to us. Don't you be mistaken that we are just having church and churches are just having conferences. You know, you hear people say things like, oh, you know, everybody, we're just holding meetings here. Churches are proliferating everywhere and all dressed. Let me say something that we should never forget. God has his church in control. This is important. The Holy Spirit
is the master orchestrator behind the scenes. Irrespective of what we think and what we expect, the Holy Spirit is orchestrating something behind the scenes. This meeting is one of such orchestrations. And such meetings are probably holding somewhere in Abuja, somewhere in Lagos, somewhere in Abia State. The Holy Spirit is doing something. And if we're not careful, we might actually miss out what the Spirit of God is doing. He's building the corporate church. In Ephesians, the fifth chapter, it says, husbands, love your wives. And you know, when you read that, we use it to teach marriage many a times, but really and truly, he says, all of this is just a type and shadow of the relationship that exists between Christ and the church, which is what he really wanted to talk about, was Christ and the church. But he used that as a type and shadow. And then he said something. He says that Jesus, being the husband, is washing up his bride, washing up his church to present her to himself. Are you following what I'm saying here?
Yes.
To present the church. So when we think that, you know, things are out of control, how can we have these many churches and the impact of Christianity is not felt? I want us to be careful that we don't err on the side of, you know, trying to be logical and factual. So we make certain statements that are factual, but I against what the Spirit of God is doing. Never forget where I started out from. The Holy Spirit has everything in control. As it looks right now, the Holy Spirit has everything in control. He's building up the corporate church. He's building up believers in congregations in different places. He's building up the individual Christians because of the assignment that is before them. And I'm going to show us what this assignment is. Now, but in partnering with the Holy Spirit, one of the things that we must keep at the back of our minds is that every generation is simply an improvement on a previous generation. God does not cut off generations. What he does is that he improves on what pre-existed before. Are you following what I'm saying here? So you look at a generation, and this is where we make the mistake many a times. When God's Spirit begins to stir us up into greater depth, into higher heights in him, we begin to see those things that the Spirit of God is now showing us, which is our advantage in our generation, as the weakness and the flaw of the previous generation, and then we start talking down on that generation. That's the mistake the church makes. So the Holy Spirit now wants to bring this generation into something greater, into something bigger, as an improvement of a previous generation. Our eyes are open to see those things, and we see that they were non-existent or absent in the previous generation. Then we say, can you imagine? They didn't know anything. Let me say this. You are here because they knew something. So in starting this conversation tonight, let me show you two scriptures. Because this is one big mistake that I see amongst young believers today. Listen, I am Pentecostal, I'm charismatic, and I'm SU. All together. I'm old school. All together. Are you getting what I'm saying here? It's one big error that I see. That you think that there's a doctrinal gap in a previous generation, and then we put them down, not knowing that the little they knew is what helped you to know what you now know. So let me read those two scriptures so that we don't cut ourselves from the inheritance that flows from generations. You need to understand that doctrine is not inheritance. You can be doctrinally accurate and lack an inheritance. This is important. Let me explain it this way. You can have six packs, and when the wheel is shared, your name is not on the wheel. Are you following what I'm saying? Proverbs 22:28, let's run. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy father set. Look at Jeremiah chapter 6, two scriptures. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. He said, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways. This is the instruction. He tells us to stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Ask. Where did they walk? Are you following what I'm saying here? This is important. Where did they walk? God is simply going to improve on what they did. Are you following what I'm saying here? And let me tell us. There is nothing you have read in the books or that you have heard with the hearing of your ears that you will not surpass. Hallelujah. is the law of the scriptures. The glory of the latter must be greater than the former. But if there will be a latter, it means that there was a former. Are you following what I'm saying here? He says, ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. So you ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. And you shall find what? Rest to your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. And I think this is a picture of my generation. We will not walk therein. He says, also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Now, in building the church, please listen very carefully. In building the body of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is the agency. The Holy Spirit is the one building his church. In building it through the prophetic scriptures, we see two distinct moves of the Spirit. And the second one is what is upon us now. In Obadiah chapter 1 verse 17. He said, upon Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance. That is 1970 straight into the 2000s in Nigeria. So what basically happened was that there was darkness in this country. No light. Many of our parents worshipped idols. They were occultic in nature. And the first thing God did was to bring deliverance into Zion. So upon Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance. So what was the message? Come into Zion. There shall be deliverance. When you come in, the hand of God will meet you at the point of your needs. God is doing great things. It is a move of the Spirit. Upon Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance. Obadiah 1:17. But verse 21, he then says, saviors, deliverers, shall rise up out of Zion. That's a different thing. Which means the Spirit of God will catch our attention in a generation by bringing deliverance into Zion. Are you getting what I'm saying here? The things that we celebrate, the things that brought the revival, that brought the move of God into Nigeria, and then all of a sudden, people began to turn from darkness to light, and then you had Christians, believers, everywhere, in places, Benin, that was, a witch den, churches began to sprout up all around, people like, in southwest Nigeria, that was full of occultism and witchcraft. Now you have churches springing up in all of these places. All because, he says, there shall be deliverance. So what happened was people said, if this God can do what they are saying he's doing, then we'll follow him. Are you following what I'm saying? But then he does not stop there. He says, God will now take those who have been delivered, and he will send them out as deliverers. Saviors, deliverers shall, not only will there be deliverance, now this is important, there will never be a time that there is no deliverance in Zion. However, he's saying now God will raise deliverers. He will raise saviors out of Zion. You know, one time I was reading and the Spirit of God said something to me. Let me get that exact scripture for us. We may not read it. 1 Samuel chapter 13 from verse 17 down to verse 23. You can study it for yourself. The Philistines came against Israel. Three camps. They called them spoilers. They broke themselves into three camps of spoilers. And the Bible says when they came up against Israel, no sword was found in all of Israel. There was no sword, no spear in all of Israel, save in the hands of Saul and Jonathan. Celebrity ministry. Are you getting what I'm saying here? So what had happened really and truly, the Bible actually says they went, Israel had to go in the season of prosperity. God is doing something. I'm telling you the truth. God is doing something in this nation. In the season of prosperity where things were fine, Israel did not know that the Philistines had come into town, and you can read it. The Bible says they removed all the blacksmiths. So when there was peace and plenty and prosperity, which came into the church in Nigeria, the Bible says the Philistines removed all of the blacksmiths. When war broke out, nobody in Israel had a sword, says Saul and Jonathan. The Bible actually said that Israelites will have to carry their mattocks and their cutlasses to the Philistines to sharpen for them. And this is where we have found ourselves, sincerely speaking. That you have the sword and the spear in the hands of those who are high up there. But God is returning the sword to the hands of every believer. And I believe this is what this conference is about. He's returning the sword into the hands of every believer. That's the move of God in this day and age. He's building up the church corporately. He's building you up as his temple privately. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes.
So we've got to know what is the Spirit of God really doing? What is the Holy Spirit achieving? What is he accomplishing in our day and our time? God is calling people, and that's why I love the minister before. He's calling people out of a place of complacency to say there is more on your life. There is more in your life. Look at Revelation 22. Revelation chapter 22. Hallelujah. We're going to read a few scriptures. And I like to believe that the word of God itself, just reading it is a blessing. That's the truth. So, look at this. Revelation chapter 22 from verse 16. We are building up to something. And there is going to be a breakout tonight. Brothers and sisters, from the little that I've experienced of God, and I can tell you this without fear, that I've experienced God in some measure. From the little that this small boy standing before you has experienced, such as I have, tonight I will give.
Amen.
That's what Peter said, such as I have, give I thee. From the little that I've experienced, I have seen the hand of God. I have seen the move of the Spirit. We are not stopping here. There is so much more ahead of us. But I believe that it is not for one person. It is for an army. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's for an army. It's not for just one person somewhere. It's for an army. It's for an army. And tonight there's an activation. Are you following this? Look at what it says in Revelation 22 verse 16. It says, I, Jesus, please listen carefully, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. So this message is to the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. I want us to read verse 17 together. Want to go? And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Just hold on. First things first, you should note there, he did not say the Spirit and the bridegroom say, come. He says, and the Spirit and the bride. The bride is the church. It says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And it says, let him that heareth say, what should they say? Come. Do you remember when Paul said that this should be what we should say our prayer? Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Maranatha. I'm going to show you something very soon in the scriptures. So when he says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And I hope you know this is the last instruction in the scriptures, given as it were, in terms of spiritual instructions to the church. He says, let the Spirit and the bride say, come. He says, let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the waters of life freely. Hallelujah. Now, so let's break it into two. He says, the Spirit say, come. He says, and the bride say, come. Referring to two different things. And if we don't have an understanding of what the Apostle John was trying to get across here, we actually can miss out on God's agenda for us. Remember, he wrote this to the churches. That means he wrote it to us. This is an instruction to us. If he had said he wrote to the church of Laodicea, he said to the churches. If it was to the church then, I believe it's more to the church now. Are you following what I'm saying? So the Apostle John comes with a message and he says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. The Spirit is saying, come. The bride say, come. He said, when anyone heareth it, let him what? Say what? Come. When he says the Spirit say, come, what does it mean? And if you're taking notes, you can just write this down. When he talks about the Spirit saying, come, he's referring to a call to intimacy. That's what he's referring to. The Spirit say, come. And I'm going to show you a few things in scripture. When he says the bride say, come, it is entirely different. He's referring to, let me let the scriptures explain itself. Go to Acts chapter 3, and you're going to see this here, and you'll see the two comes there, as it were, where it says come, and then he says come. Look at what it says in Acts chapter 3. and verse 19. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. He says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted. I want you to see this. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. May be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come. Say with me, times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Now, can we read verse 20 together? I want to go. What does it say? And that he may send Jesus Christ. Just a second. What did he tell us to do in verse 19? Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Who is the Lord? Jesus. Are you following what I'm saying here? Then he says that this Jesus, God wants to send him. He says, which was preached to you before. Look at the next verse. Verse 20, 21 there. He says, whom heaven must receive. So he is in the presence of the Father. Heaven must receive him, retain him, until the times of restoration. Please note these two things. The times of refreshing and the times of restoration. Two different things. He says, while we are on earth on this side of eternity, please follow this. While we are on earth on this side of eternity, he says, repent ye therefore. He says that your sins may be blotted out, and that God wants to give us times of refreshing. Not a time. Times. These are seasons that come over and over and over and over again in our lives. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Then he says, he's doing that till he can send Jesus, whom the heavens must receive, until the time of what? Restoration. Or another word there is the word reconstitution. Let me start from the times of restoration, the times of reconstitution. He's talking about that time where everything would have been set back to initial order. There will be no death, no sickness, no sin in the world. He's talking about when the kingdoms of this world shall have become the kingdoms of his Lord and Christ. The same thing Paul said to cry out, Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Establish your kingdom in the earth. Are you following what I'm saying here? But he says, even though that's the long-term goal, that there's a day coming when the feet of Jesus will touch the Mount Olives again. And he's going to restore everything. Paul put it in 1 Corinthians 15 this way. He says that he's going to bring all the kingdoms of this world under his feet and submit it to his Father. Are you following what I'm saying here? But he says before that time of restoration, it's a day that is coming. It's a day that is coming to us. It's going to be marked by the rapture, when the church will be cut out from the earth and Jesus will restore everything in the earth to normal order, initial order. That's what Isaiah said. He said the lion and the adder, the lion and the snake, they will sleep together on the floor. He says the children will play with the tiger. There will be no fear of violence. Why? Because everything has been restored back to normal. Are you getting what I'm saying here? He says when Jesus, whom the heavens must receive, will be sent back, this will happen. However, while we're on this side of eternity, what does he say? He says we will have what is called what? Times of refreshing. These times of refreshing is a combination of two things. Please listen very carefully to me tonight. These times of refreshing is a combination of two things. Number one, a walk of intimacy. And number two, recurring revivals in your life. Let me say that again. The times of refreshing is predicated on a walk of intimacy. The Spirit says, come. Are you getting what I'm saying here? And then times of recurring revivals or recurring moves of the Spirit in your life, and not just you as an individual, even a local spiritual cell, a church can experience it. So we had this time of refreshing last year, but the Spirit of God brings us into something new and something greater this year. Are you following what I'm saying here? Let me tell you this. And I said this, God bearing me witness. I was doing a count. Remarkable. And when I say remarkable, remarkable, unbelievable. You know, when somebody's testifying and you are saying, you are saying, don't add to it, just say it as it is. You, the pastor. Even you, the pastor, you're like, brethren, don't magnify anything. Just say it as it is. Even you, the pastor, you are asking, did it really happen? I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the absolute truth. Now, I was praying one day and then the Lord said to me, he said, I hope you know that in 1 year, this was 7 months into the year, this was July or so, July, August. He said, in 7 months within a year, he said, you have seen more of me than you saw in the last 7 years put together. And I'm telling you the truth, I lie not. I lie not. You see, because our lives are not made with time, the passage of time. Our lives are made in moments. Which means there's a moment where something breaks out. You build up to that moment. It's not as though it happens by chance. It's a build up. But something breaks out in your life and you're able to experience another dimension of God that you've not experienced before. Let me say this to us. Any Christianity that says that the move of the Spirit is not measurable is not Christianity. He says the waters issued out of the temple, first the ankle level, then the knee level. You get what I'm saying here? And it will interest you to note that it was this 1,000 cubits that were measured for the ankle, that was measured for the knee. It makes no sense. Because if 1,000 cubits got to the ankle, 1,000 cubits should get to maybe half of the leg. Do you get what I'm saying here? But this another 1,000, not 10,000 cubits now. Another 1,000, then the knee. Then another 1,000, then the waist. Another 1,000, a river that I could not flow by. So the 1,000 is not what really matters. Because what happens is, at 1,000 at the ankle level, you can walk inside. As the waters are rising, what you see is that your control is reducing. As the waters are rising, what you see is that surrender is greater. Are you following what I'm saying here? Because as the waters, by the time he gets here, you know, you are moving, by the time he gets here, are you getting what I'm saying here? You are losing control of yourself. So this thing, which means where you were yesterday, you ought not to be there today again. There is movement and progression in God. Are you following what I'm saying here? There's movement and progression in God. But as an individual and as a corporate entity, there is movement and progression in God. We can have more of God, as it were, in our lives. We can have more of the manifestation of, and you know why this is important? We cannot help the world beyond what we have experienced of God. This is important. You cannot help the world beyond the experience you've had of God. Let me tell you a story. This was just last Sunday. A young man, it was a miracle service. A young man comes into the church. And the interesting thing, the amazing thing is, because we've been teaching this, the brethren come back with the exact same testimonies they hear from the stage. I mean the exact, in fact, a Muslim got saved. And in 2 months, I've not even, till now, Pastor, I've not spoken to this Muslim. He was just passing by and then he heard some music and he said he could not resist. So he came in and he said by himself, a Muslim, I'm in the north. Do you understand what I'm saying here? I'm in the north and Christianity is different in that place. Yeah. He came by himself and he said, I want to surrender. So some leaders led him to the Lord and all the rest. I mean, and then 2 months after, about 2 months in church, one of my pastors comes to me and says to me, he said, you will not believe what I heard. I said, what is it? He said his wife died. His wife does not stay in Abuja. His wife stays in Kaduna. He went to Kaduna and then his wife died I think she was ill. So he ran back home. By the time he got home, his wife was certified dead. A Muslim, 2 months old Muslim. He said, I don't know anything. All those things that Pastor Ayo is preaching to me, I cannot preach it. All I know is that when he says in Jesus' name things happen, a Muslim 2 months old, 2 months old in the faith, laid his hands on his dead wife. He said in Jesus' name, rise up now. He didn't have our lingua. The wife jacked back to life. Haven't been dead hours. Let me say this to us. We cannot win this world with rhetorics. No, we can't win it with phonetic. We can't win it with grammar. Are you following what I'm saying here? We cannot win this world with grammar. And when I talk about power and address, sometimes people are saying things like, you know, all they are talking about is power. Let me quickly say this, even though it's not part of my conversation, but it will help you. When Jesus said to them in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Well, in chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they began to speak in tongues. I hope you know, he did not say you will speak in tongues. No, Jesus didn't have that conversation with them that when the Holy Spirit comes, you will speak in tongues. That's not what he said. He didn't say when the Holy Spirit comes, just get ready. No. There was nothing like that. What he told them was that you shall receive power. Pastor, sir, can I ask you a question? When they finished that meeting, I hope we know that in today's terms, we will have said that service was an okay service. It was not as powerful as we'd have wanted it. And you know why? Because it's chapter 3 that the service was powerful. A lame man at the gates who had not walked. They said, rise up and walk. And the man walked. Everywhere would scatter. Yes. Ah, see power. If they felt that they did not receive power in chapter 2, they would not have said in chapter 3, such as I have, give ID. Are you following what I'm saying here? What was the first proof of power that they saw? Peter was preaching. No altar call was made. The people shut him down. Peter said, I still have 4 points to go. They said, No. What shall we do to be saved? First person asked. Peter said, wait. Let me finish my sermon. Continue the sermon. Then people started shouting. What shall we do? They started running to the front. They made an altar call themselves. The weight of Peter's words. So the first token of power is in your words. We can't win this world with rhetorics. We can't win this world with, you know, just saying nice things and putting together good scriptures. We can't win this world that way. A people of power and fire need to rise up. That's the only way to win this world. Are you following what I'm saying? It's impossible to win this world that way. A young man came into church on Sunday. Apparently it was his first time. So I called, the Lord told me to lay hands on certain people. So I called and then the moment came. You know, when you lay hands on somebody and it's like a doorknob, like an Hagin will say. You lay hands on the person and your anointing is jumping back at you. I looked at the guy. He had amazing guy. So he had his hands folded like, well, you're done, let me know. And I will go. So my man, I'm like, why did you come out though? Let me just lay hands on the others. And so I found out later on that he had had a growth in his brain. And he did, so he grows his hair because it protrudes out. Very funny story. And then he had done scan from China, blah, blah, blah. Long story short, this was how he was. Then he went to sit down somewhere like where this brother is, that lady is, and he sat down there. The service was about to end. This is where I'm going to. Please listen carefully. The service was about to end. And the young man said, he just called one of the pastors. He said, I'm breathing. He said, The air is too much. The air is too much. What had happened was the tumor had rested upon a part that affects his breathing. So he says all of his life he had breathed with just one side of his nostril. And even at that, he has to, you know, pull it in intentionally, struggle. He said, the air is too much. He said, the air is too much. Hey, the air is too much. The air is too much. So I called him. I said, what do you mean the air is too much? But this is where I'm going to. Then he stood up the stage. He said, I have not darkened the walls of a church in decades. He said, I don't go to church. He said, in fact, these were his words. He said, when I came in here and they were singing, I said, what is this? Is this a lost planet? You can imagine that people living on our street, this is what they think. He said, is this a lost planet? That he doesn't even understand what we are doing. They are singing. What are they singing about? He was just looking, what's going on here? So I asked him, I said, do you want at this point to be a partaker of what you're seeing? He said, I like it. This is someone who was an avowed free thinker. You know, you can sit down with the person and be doing, this is what the Bible says. He says, no, this is what the Quran says. This is what this says. This is what that one says. This is what this one, this is what that one says. Can I tell you something? The only way to reach a generation is power. That's the only way. And we have to understand that the Spirit of God is doing a work today to bring people into a place of power. Where they actually are witnesses of the resurrected Christ. Are you following what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
Let me read you a few scriptures. Say with me, times of restoration and times of refreshing. So, times of restoration and times of refreshing. Now, the Holy Spirit is walking in the earth. He's walking in the church. And I believe very strongly that there are moves of the Spirit. You see, let me say this to us. You have to understand that you can have a 1,000 kilowatt line passing over your house. It does not mean you have power in your house. Okay? So you are the one who has to connect by yourself with what is happening in the place. And I can tell you categorically that the Spirit of God is moving in this country. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There are five things I can tell you. And this is important. The Spirit of God said to give you these five things. There are five things that will mark what the Spirit of God is doing in this country. There are five things, definite things that will mark it. Why am I sharing these five things with you? Because you will see it, and so you can position yourself for it. Are you following what I'm saying here? Number one, what are the five things that are marking the last move of the Spirit? These moves of the Spirit that comes in waves. Or you can put it in another word, the revivals, these times of refreshings that comes from the presence of the Lord. What are the five things that will mark it? Number one, this will amaze you. A restoration of the fear of the Lord. That's number one thing.
Hallelujah.
Please listen carefully. The Holy Spirit is walking, and if you're not careful, you can just be doing church and not know that the Spirit of God is doing something. He's actually doing something. I am of the opinion, Pastor, that like as it was in the days of the Voice of Healing revival, where Kenneth Hagin, I heard Brother Hagin say this. He said, all you had to be able to minister healing to anybody was desire it. He said, without much effort. You see, because when the clouds are full, and you get what I'm saying here, they empty rain of themselves. And I believe that we are under full clouds right now in this country. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
I'm saying this because I know it by experience and by the Spirit that any individual who will set himself right, the things I will show you tonight, who will set himself right, you will do for the Lord far more than you have ever read in the books.
Hallelujah.
Thank God for Catherine Kuhlman. Thank God for Smith Wigglesworth. Thank God for the great things that they did. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes,
but it's our time.
Yes, sir.
Somebody say, it is my time.
It is my time.
Thank God for John G. Lake. Thank God for the amazing things that we read of these men. Thank God, amazing miracles, amazing move of the Spirit. But it's our time now. And guess what? Let's make up our minds that we will not fail God. It's a decision.
Yes, sir.
It's a decision. Number one is a restoration of the fear of the Lord. Five things that will mark the move of the Spirit in this country. A restoration of the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is not an outdated thing. And when I talk about the fear of the Lord, you know, I told you that I'm SU, I'm old school, I'm new school, together. Some young men went to meet Pastor Iye Adeboye, and they said, you're always preaching the fear of the Lord. You're always preaching the fear of the Lord. Do you know? And they were charging at him. You know, there was a time some people went rogue in this country. They were charging at him. And they said, do you know that in scriptures, there is the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord is not fear like rattlesnake fear. It's reverential fear. And they gave him the Hebrew and the Greek of it. So when they were done, that the Jew said, you know the way he talks. He said, it was someone that was inside that told me. God delivered the young man. God delivered him. He said, the Jew said, he said, whether reverential or rattlesnake, fear God. And I understand that there's the nobody's saying that you're thinking of God and nobody's talking about that. But I'm saying that the church of Jesus Christ must be defined by the fear of the Lord. When you read in the book of Acts, one of the first things that God established in the church was the fear of the Lord. Ananias and Sapphira told some lies. The Bible says, as the first one husband told the lie, pam, he died. Second one came, pam. And it says, the feet of those who buried your husband will go and bury you as well. What did the Bible say? Great fear came upon the people. So the first thing that the Spirit of the Lord is doing, and I'm going to show you some of these things, how it's working, is the fear of the Lord. There has to be a restoration of it. You see, any doctrine or any position of scriptures that puts you in a place where you are casual with God has put you in a place where you are losing your destiny. Fear God. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? Fear Him. Number one is the fear of the Lord. Whilst these are characteristics of the move of the Spirit, they are repositionings that must happen in our lives. You cannot act in a certain way out there and then come inside there and sing the songs of Zion. No. No. Tell the person beside you, fear God.
Fear God.
Fear God. Are you following what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
If you know me, I teach the doctrine, the new creation. I will teach you to stupor. I will teach you on grace to stupor. But the biggest problem we've had right now in the body of Christ is a problem of balance.
Yeah.
That we want to say something and we say it as though this other one does not matter.
Yeah.
Like somebody said, I heard somebody saying that there was no price that was paid for the anointing. I know where you're coming from. Oh, Jesus paid the price. I know Jesus paid the price. Go and be sleeping.
Yeah.
Go and be sleeping now. Just sleep and wake up and say, Jesus has paid the price. Who else look at one of them? I said, what rubbish are you saying? He said, there's no price. How can you talk like that? So if you talk like that, then you're going into legalism. You are speaking grammar, you don't know the meaning. Number one is the restoration of the fear of the Lord, which will lead to number two. And you see this number two in Ephesians 5 verse 25 and 26. A church without blemish. Remember, he said he's coming for a church without spot, without wrinkles, and without what? Blemish. That's what he's coming for. A church without blemish. Do you know that in New York, Rochester, New York, Oberlin, New York, two different cities, it was said to be the policemen had nothing to do. They didn't have criminals to catch because of the work of Charles G. Finney. No criminals in town. The pubs, the cinemas, the circuses closed down. Are you getting what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
One time, Charles Finney went into a fashion in a house. And as he entered, a lady there scorned him. She looked at him and said, Reverend, you know that kind of thing. How many of you know how? One time I was at the airport and they booked my name as Reverend Ayo and I was wearing jeans and t-shirt. The person looked at me. Where's the person for the ticket? I said, it's me. Hey, you Reverend. I think this airline should put pastor instead of reverend. Because pastor is more acceptable for them. You know, so she looked at him and said, Reverend. And the moment she said it, the hand of the Lord came upon her in strong conviction. She broke down in tears. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. As she began to cry, over 5,000 workers. You can read it for yourself. 5,000 workers in the entire factory. They started breaking down one by one. When the owner of the factory saw that nobody is working again, they are all crying under conviction. He said, can we have a service? So he went visiting, but he turned to revival. He said, let me tell you something. He said, you are a city set on a hill. The Lord said something to me many years ago. He said, cities carry atmospheres. So if you're a city, you can get into a place and reset the atmosphere. Are you following what I'm saying? Number one is a restoration of the fear of the Lord. Number two is a church without blemish. This is important. And we have to believe for this. We have to believe for it. In the 70s in this country, it was said that if you wanted to employ someone, they would send letters to churches. The Redeemed Christian Church of God, late 70s, Deeper Life, they would send letters to churches and say, just give us people. Because they knew that if they came from the church, they can be trusted. I am telling you this, and you will remember that I said it. Those days are coming back. Are you following what I'm saying? Any contention for a move of the Spirit that does not contend for this is faulty. It's faulty. Say with me, a church without blemish. Say it again, a church without blemish. Number three, an avalanche of signs and wonders. I didn't just say healings and miracles. I said signs and wonders. Not just healings, not just miracles, but signs and wonders, which means you would have a proliferation of signs and wonders. Acts chapter 3 speaks about it. It tells us that there will be signs in heaven and wonders in the earth beneath. Signs and wonders. And those days are coming back. We're going to see, thank God, we've started seeing a bit of it. We've started seeing healings, the supernatural power of God in the body of Christ. And can I tell us something? Contend for it. Don't settle for less. Don't settle being okay. Not having everything he said you can have. Contend for the supernatural. Are you following what I'm saying? Contend for the supernatural. We're going to have signs and wonders at an unprecedented level. We're going to have it. It's coming back to the church. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Number four. I told you there are five of them. Number four. We're going to have an unprecedented harvest of souls. Through a mobilized church. Not pulpits. Did you hear what I said? A mobilized church. And what do I mean by mobilized church? Not just a preacher standing on the pulpit and saying, come all of you. Come and say yes to Jesus. No. That people are going to come to a place in their lives where they genuinely have put God's kingdom above their own needs. Are you following what I'm saying? A mobilized church. So people are out there in the supermarket trying to buy something, and then they see an opportunity to minister the gospel to someone, and there's no self anymore. Are you getting what I'm saying? There's no self anymore. There's nothing like, oh, myself, all that God can do for me. No, no. Now you're thinking of what you can bring into the kingdom. A mobilized church, unprecedented harvest of souls. And number five, we are going to see the emergence of the church triumphant. The emergence of the church triumphant. I say these things to you both by scriptures and by the Spirit. That in not too far a future from now, this will be the character of the Church of Jesus Christ in Nigeria. Amen. In not too far a future from now. Amen. I am telling you what I have seen in the Spirit. I am telling you what the Lord has showed me. In fact, the Lord said something to me. He said, I am doing a work in these last days and in these last times. And you see, there's so much that could be said, but I feel that the Spirit of God would want me to narrow on this. I'm doing a work in these last days and in these last times. And it will behoove everyone to be careful to align themselves with it. To align themselves with what the Spirit of God is doing. God's Spirit does not have everything out of control. He's putting everything together. Are you following what I'm saying here? The Bible says that Elijah was going to be caught up. You remember the story? And then Elijah says, I'm going to follow you. He says, I want double portion of the anointing. Well, spare me the theology behind it, because I can show you even further than whatever you want to say. Well, double portion means the man had six children, seven children, the seventh one, he gave the seventh one extra. Whatever it is you're talking about, the point is, he wanted something he did not have. That's the big deal. And I think sometimes we wrestle scriptures to our own detriment. He wanted something he did not have. And then the Bible says that they went from one region to another. You may have read these things yourself. The first place they went to was Gilgal. The place called the place of the rolling away. Of the reproach of Egypt. When they were going to come into Canaan, what did God tell them? He said, take sharp knives and circumcise your foreskins. And the Bible says the men were sore, the men of war, couldn't fight, yet there was no enemy that came against them. And when Elisha got to this place, it was the first place he got to, a place of consecration. You know, one time, if this is where I can end it, it will be fine. One time I was reading Ma, and then the Lord said this to me. He said, did you not read that I said, in a great house, there are many vessels? The great house is the kingdom of God, the church of Jesus Christ. In a great house, there are many vessels. What qualifies you to be a vessel? By the new birth. The fact that you are born into the house makes you a vessel. But not all vessels are usable. Not all vessels are unto honor. In that great house, there are vessels unto dishonor. In the great house, all of them are vessels. All of them. And what distinguishes between one and another, he says, if a man shall purge himself, not if God will, if a man shall purge himself of this, he shall be a vessel unto honor. So what you do is what determines whether you are honorable or dishonorable, usable or unusable. What you do has nothing to do with you being a vessel. What he did makes you a vessel. What you do makes you usable.
That's right.
There's a difference. And if we're not careful, what he did is what makes you a vessel. There's nothing you can do to make yourself a vessel. You are the clay, he's the potter. He molded you into a vessel. You were born into the great house as a vessel. But to be used, if a man shall purge himself of these things, he shall be a vessel unto honor, ready for the master's use. So not all vessels can be used. Even though they are in the great house. Pastor sir, God showed it to me this way. In Genesis chapter 2, the Bible says that, and you know, when we read, if you read Genesis chapter 1, you know, we just assume that God said, let there be trees, let there be fish, and everything showed up. That's not true. Because in Genesis chapter 1, if you looked on the face of the earth with your physical eyes, you will not see Adam. It was his spirit that was created. It's in chapter 2 that his body that you can see was formed. In chapter 2, the Bible says there was no tree. If you read from verse 4, verse 5, these are the generations of Adam. There was no tree on the earth as at yet. Even though God had spoken in Genesis chapter 1. Come on, can we see it? Genesis chapter 2. He says, before any plant of the field was in the earth and before any herb of the field had grown. He says, now everybody, I want you to know this. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. I read this in the interlinear, the old translations. He says, God stopped rain from falling because there was no man to use it. To what end was the rain when there was no man? We shout for a move. God is shouting for a man. We are asking for a move. We are screaming for a move. God, do something. God is saying, where are the men? Did you not read? He said, you do not pour new wine into old wineskins. I hope you know, the only thing that was lacking in that place was new wineskins. There was new wine. He said, you do not pour new wine into old wineskins. So, if you looked at the equation, what was on the table? New wine, old wineskins. So, new wine is not a problem. Are you following what I'm saying? New wine is not a problem. And see, the way God showed this to me in Genesis chapter 2, he says, then God formed the body of the man. Chapter 1, he had created him. Why didn't God cause it to rain? The rain of his spirit. Why didn't he cause it to fall? Even though the man had been created. Because, listen carefully to what I want to say and never forget it. The rain of the spirit does not fall on the created man. It falls on the formed man. The created man is the new creation. You're born again, that's fine. You're now a vessel. You're now a vessel. By being born again, you're now a vessel in God's house. But the move of the spirit does not happen because you're a vessel. Number one, if a man shall purge himself of this, we have to wake up to the demands of consecration. We have to wake up. Hallelujah. We can't joke around this thing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We can't. The demands of consecration. We have to. Can I tell you something?
Yes.
The gifts of the Spirit are not a proof of consecration. Oh. Did the Bible not say that Saul prophesied all night long? Even he prophesied naked all night long. Yet he was a murderer in making. Tell the person beside you, consecration. That's the first thing. That's the first thing. That's why I'm sorry, it's not the exciting one. Praise God. That's number one thing. We get to Gilgal. And can I say this to you? Consecration is not a one-off effort. No. No. If you really walk this face of the earth, there will always be the need to check something out. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. How do we purge ourselves? How do we sanctify ourselves? By the truth. It's by the truth. That's how we purge ourselves. Glory to God. Now, if any man, if any vessel be used of the Lord, then he must be what? Purged. Purged of himself. Purged. Hallelujah. Are you still here? Then they moved to the next place. Where was the next place? Bethel. The house of the Lord. Where the presence of God was. And if you read this, the Bethel there refers to the presence of God. We have to desire His presence and fellowship in His presence, long for it with all of our soul, more than our necessary meal. Let me read this to us and then we spend some time to pray. I know our time is fast spent. Can I have Genesis chapter 1 from verse 8? And you can study it for yourself when you get back home. The Bible says, if you read from verse 8? So the Bible says, now let me just paraphrase it. The Bible says God created the skies and everything, you remember, right? And then he created, called the land to comfort out of the waters. All of those were the immaterial, the non-living creation of God. Water, land, the firmaments, the clouds of heaven. Then God moved to the living creation. Amma, it's interesting to note. God said, let the land, let it bring forth trees. The land. He didn't say trees be. He says, let the waters bring forth whales. He said, let the land bring forth beasts. So he called forth each animal, each living thing from the habitat that will support it. Now, if that's the pattern that God used in creation, when he came to man, he said, let us. God spoke to the land to bring trees, to waters to bring fishes. God spoke to himself to bring man. So man's habitat is the presence. The presence. The presence. That is the habitat. Are you following what I'm saying? The presence. Anything that contends with that presence, you fight it tooth and nail. Are you following what I'm saying? The presence. The presence. Hallelujah. The presence. We have to become men of His presence. Being intentional with it. Intimacy does not happen in a crowd. Intimacy cannot happen in a rush. You don't have to tell anyone you've been intimate with another person. Give it time. Oh, if you have been intimate with someone, give it time. Intimacy will always produce belly. The only way we can be pregnant for our world is that we've been intimate in the secret. That's the only way. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Brothers and sisters, we cannot afford 30 minutes worship and expect to carry head shaking anointing.
Glory.
We cannot. We cannot.
Glory.
It's not possible.
Hallelujah.
We cannot. One of these is recently, I went on a prayer walk till my leg removed, literally. I mean, I could literally not walk again. And what was the reason? I needed time. The kids were everywhere in the house. I said, no, I can't. You know, not that one that we are doing. We locked the door. Hey, daddy. And you're talking to your own daddy. Why? No. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes.
We lock ourselves up. Not because he's hiding from us, But because intimacy requires time, it requires attention. And have you not observed that when you're intimate with someone, you're having deep conversations with someone, and a phone rings, usually you have to start from where from the beginning again. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Well, two keys I've given you. There's several others that could be given, but I'm going to stop at that. Number one is what? Consecration. That's number one. Number two is what? Intimacy, fellowship, the presence, spending time in His presence. Our pastor said something very powerful. What was the need that Adam had? What was the need Jesus had? He created the world. He has no needs. But he prayed all night long. What was he saying? What was he saying? Glory to God. I said glory to God. Can we pray just a bit? I know our time is fast spent. Let's pray in the Spirit wherever you are. Right there on your seat. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Just pray in the Holy Ghost where you are. Right there on your seat. Thank you, Lord.
This message was brought to you free of charge by the partners of the Cornerstone Church Enugu. For more resources and downloads, please visit our website at thecornerstoneministries.org. Our faith is based on the Word of God. It transforms us and it bears fruit for us.